The message today is somewhat directed to the graduates or graduate, and but also really for us. And so as I'm speaking, it's talking to the graduates, but also really to us as individuals and as a body of believers. All right, so keep this in mind as I speak about things. The title for this is The Next Step. All right, and as what has been mentioned, and Reggie even used the words The Next Step when he was first talking here, which I found very funny. You know, when we finish a part of our life and we really understand that we're moving into a new part, it's very obvious from getting through high school and then going on to the next part of your life, whether it's college or whether it's some kind of job opening that you're going to be doing. It's very, very clear, and you know that you're moving from one kind of life into another, one that was training and then it becomes actual doing, or maybe extending that training and learning, going to college, and then there you are, and you're more in charge of your life. You're the ones that are making all the choices rather than just a few of them. And you know, when we start something new, I remember when Diane, I can remember back when I was that age, thinking about going off to college, and I was all excited. You know, when you're starting a new job, something that is new, a different phase of your life, there's an excitement. But there's also I won't say fear, but there's an anxiousness too. Because we move into situations and meeting people that we've never met before. We don't know what it's really going to be like. Anytime that you start something new, there's that excitement, but there's also the natural kind of anxiety that happens when you move into something that is different for us, right? You would agree to that. This is really also true about us as spiritual beings. I think that there's a lot that happens within the church community where, it was said, you know, we sing certain words to songs, and we might not even really be awake to really know what that actually means. You know? The war can be glorified, and people can, oh man, you know, I'd be a really good warrior, and you know, I'm going to go into the army, and then you get there, and there's actually bullets whizzing past your head, and then it isn't so glorious anymore. It's scary, it's uncomfortable. You know, you're looking for a way out. Now, I want you to apply this into your life in whatever ways that you need to. Because, you know, we have talked a lot about moving out in the Spirit and really listening to the Lord. And the Lord is doing a new thing. And we all are, oh yeah, amen. We just love that. But the actual stepping out and doing has been a problem for every single one of us because of who we are as people, right? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? So I just want to talk about the reality, because like Diane was saying about that boy, there was prayer over that child, or I don't know how old he was, but here the person is, And he ended up getting a release. He got, things got broken. And we've talked a lot about the breaking of bondages, and lots of it is mental, isn't it? And we want to see release for the captives. I want to be released of those things that bind me up in my mind, right? So, I wrote down here, I just want to make sure I get to this. You know, along with the new opportunities, opportunity requires work on our part. It doesn't just happen. You know, you don't go from being a high schooler and you're the CEO of a company. That just doesn't really happen. You might find an instance here and there in millions of situations, unless your father owns the company, you're not going to be the CEO on your first day on a job, are you? But lots of people feel that way. People feel entitled. I'm the son of the king. I'm a Christian. Everything's going to go right with me just because of Jesus. But that's only the beginning of that truth. There's going to be work. There's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be disappointments. And we believing and trusting in God, will get through all of those things as we listen to the Spirit. It isn't just automatic wonderful, is it? But I'll tell you what. As you and I walk with God, we find that He is there even when we don't sense Him, feel Him, understand what He's doing. Why isn't this happening? What's going on here? Or we see that we've missed the mark down the years of our life, and we go, oh man, I really messed up. Like that kid said, I wish I would have known this years ago. I wish I would have chosen this years ago. And sometimes we have to go through that school of hard knocks for years before the light comes on in us. But one thing, being God's kids, if we turn our attention to Him and trust Him, the light does go on eventually. Isn't that great? Yeah. So we can have lots of encouragement, but we have to understand that there is a process, and it's excruciating at times. You know? We have the mountaintop experience and we have the valleys experience, don't we? I mean, everything in between. We want it all to be mountaintop, but that isn't how life goes. And we learn obedience through the things we suffer. Right? Not everything goes our way. And we go through times and seasons of things. As individuals, as families, as a church, right? And we have to understand that. The scripture says, you know, Lord, remind me to number my days. We need to remember, hey, we're only here a short time. When you think about it, when you compare it to eternity, we're not here that long. And that should make us think about, what are we doing with our time? Is our life really in being lived for the glory of God? Or is there something else that's involved? I mean, we were created for His good pleasure, weren't we? Yeah. To do His will, to be His ambassadors, to live a life that's full and rich and abundant and beyond abundant. And yet, so many of us don't find that because we're not living that the way we need to. So this is really an important time, talking about graduation for a person from high school into college or to a job situation, or maybe you're moving out of the house and you're getting your own apartment, or whatever that new kind of step is, from one kind of experience to a different kind of experience. When we move from one to another, there's usually some of the remnants of before that get carried along with us when we go into this new experience. And as time goes by, the things that we don't need fall away, and we're adopting a new way of thinking and acting and choosing, right? Isn't that what happens in life? So I want to talk to us today about this whole thing. We, as a church, I believe, have graduated from a particular way of being, reacting, and we're going into something that is new. Now you're going, well, what are you talking about? I don't know. But I can tell you, I know a little bit. I can tell you, though, that the way we have been as a group, there's good things, there's not so good things, the way we are. And God is looking to do a new thing. We're coming to where the road splits, and if we want to hold on and not change, not really give more of ourselves to God, like it just the way it is, don't have any kind of vision at all to what God really wants to do in our life. There's no spiritual focus at all. It's just coming to church and waiting for the next Sunday to hear a message or to worship God. If that's what it is, we're going to go down a particular path. And yeah, we'll still meet, but the vitality, this is what I'm concerned about, the vitality of our relationship as a group of people with God, amen, is going to suffer. It's only going to go so far. God has us at one place. He's looking for us to step up into something that's grander and more full of His Spirit and His presence. And if we're satisfied, we're gonna go off to the left instead of go off to the right. And this isn't just some little message to take up time this morning. This is something that I believe God is speaking to all of us, to me as an individual, to you as an individual, and to us as a church body that functions together and relates together, and we have a fellowship, and we influence the way we influence each other by our attitudes, by our reactions to things, by our intensity or by our lack of intensity. And I'm not talking about screaming or any of that. I'm not talking about intensity that way. I'm talking about a spirit that really says, God, I'm ridiculously passive when it comes to you. I can get so excited about football games and all these other things, but I don't seem to have that kind of intensity when it comes to you. Only when I make myself. And God, I want that to be natural and rich and deep and right where it needs to be, because you're the one that created me, and you're the one that died on the cross for me, and you're the one that was raised for my justification. And we got to think about this. We have to have that in our minds as a group of people. Because there's so many other things that happen in life that take our focus away from the very essence, beauty of who it is, who Jesus is, and what it means to walk with Him. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And our minds get watered down, and our attitude and our feelings toward the Lord. Yeah, I know, God. Come on, don't get too excited here, Malcolm. All right, now.
I suppose you're going to want some scripture.
Amen.
So I'm going to take you. Says, when's this guy going to stop and get to the, you know, get to the meat here? So if you will go to the book of Joshua, chapter, I think it's 3. Let me see. Joshua chapter 3. What's the book of Joshua about?
Joshua.
But not only Joshua. The book of Joshua was written by Joshua about himself, but about everything that was going on around him. What was going on? Yeah, there they were, wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. You and I have some wandering experience. There's a new phase that was happening to those Israelites. They were going from being a trodden down group of people that missed the mark a lot, and God was going to bring them to a new place. Right? If only they would listen. Huh? If only they would listen. When they first left Egypt, the Israelites could have marched right into Canaan. But what stopped them?
Sin.
Falling off the chair. What stopped them? Well, yeah, you can say sin, but they were, yes, and they saw the giants in the land. And the spies came back with a very terrifying report. There's too many giants out there. How can we possibly, how can I possibly get up and speak a word to my relatives about such and such? We have our own giants, don't we? Whether it's speaking about the Lord, and we don't rush into every situation and just talk about Jesus. We establish relationships, and when it's the right time and you're sensing. But you know, there's times where God provides an opportunity for us to share His message. Do the right thing so that we're an example to other people around us. And we don't take it. We can miss opportunities. Can't we? And we can make excuses about it. God's, I think, doing this because He wants us to get out of this old way of falling back into old habits of thinking and reacting, and we as a church have got to change. God is opening some new doors, opening up gates for new paths for us to walk through.
Amen.
We'll find out exactly, specifically, what those are. But there has to be a preparation first in our heart. And that's what I'm going to show us here in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 4. I'm going to jump the first three verses. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan. We are getting ready to cross a Jordan. And it could be in terms of our intercessory life. Maybe it's going to be in terms of finances and giving. Maybe it's going to be mortifying those sins, the sins that so easily beset. I don't know. It's all of those, plus a whole raft more that I don't have time to go, you know, give all kinds of examples. But in your life, expect that there are things that are coming up for you to take a new step, a first step into something. Kathy, what's that thing that you're going to bring with the...
Oh, the dream small?
Yeah, the dreaming small. You know, we expect that all kinds of things are if we're going to be used of God, then it has to be in some grand way. No. Take the first step. It's usually a small step. Not a big step. It's a small step. It might feel big to us, but there's lots of small steps that we need to take. Being available to help a person out, to speak to somebody about the Lord, to give, whatever. There's lots and lots and lots of smaller steps that we as individuals in this church need to do. I'm hoping that there's going to be, as things go on in this world, a real reaching out to people that are out there that need the love of Christ, need to know Christ. We need that. You know, I've said to people, I've seen our church more as a church where people that have already been Christians start coming here. I haven't seen ourselves as where we're strong in the evangelistic part of what it means to be a church, individuals, and maybe partly that rests with the eldership, because I think most of the people in the eldership, that's been our vision of who we are as a church, a place where people come that are already Christians. But it never was in my heart or anybody's heart that we shouldn't be reaching out and bringing more people in who don't know Jesus. But that can't happen just by one or two people. We have to see ourselves as God sees us and wants to expand the tent pegs of who we are. That's going to happen. That is going to happen. And hopefully, like the songs that we were singing there, we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be afraid about that. You know, I've been training for some things, and I was a little afraid of certain aspects of what I was training for. And when you're afraid, you kind of step back. You're not assertive. You're not trusting God. You're not taking that step of real faith where you believe that, hey, God will fill in the bad spaces. And if we are going to be people that reach out to others, if we're going to be people that need to grow in our relationship with Jesus and actually have a character change where it needs to change, then we need to do this with oomph. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. We can't be afraid of the changes. We can't be afraid of the next step. Because, you know, when we're afraid, we don't ever take that step. We're always... We're off balance. Yeah, you know, you want to make that step, but I can't. And that's all you hear in your head. Oh, I can't, I can't. I just can't do it. What if this and what if that? And then it never gets done. And we as a body are ready to take a step. I believe this is what the Lord's saying to us. We're ready to take a step in a particular direction that maybe we don't even understand or know yet. But I think I've already expounded on some of it for you to think about. But we need this from God from time to time. He's not upset with us. He is encouraging us, and he's saying, come on, take that next step. Be willing to go another mile with me. You know? Be willing to take off the cloak and give it to somebody. More so than we are now.
Or have we arrived? So, it says here... I never did read this, did I? All right, so Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. There will be a space between you and it's talking about the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Don't come near to it, that you may know the way by which you may go, for you have not passed this way before. That's what I want to say to us. There's a place, in a spiritual sense, but also in a physical sense, where we haven't been before. And that can be scary. And he explains what he means by don't get too close to the ark. If you're following somebody real closely, and you're talking with somebody beside you, but you want to be alone with this guy, and this guy makes a left-hand turn, and you're talking, and if you're too close to him, you don't see that they just made the turn.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? That's what he's talking about there. You need some space. This is what the message is really dealing with. We haven't gone where we're going to be going to. And that requires what's in this next verse. Listen to what it says. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Amen.
You want the Lord to do wonders among us? We want to see greater healings and greater transformations. Then we need to sanctify ourselves. Now, what does the word sanctify mean?
Set apart.
And what set apart means, to put it in a more in the vernacular, into everyday words, would be that he wants us to be spiritually prepared for what's coming ahead, and that's going to require for us to be a greater prayerful people. We have not because we ask not. And we can all say, well, I pray. Well, to what level? To what degree? To what satisfaction? And when I see where I want to see changes in my life or changes what's going on around me, and I'm praying at a particular level, I can come to only one conclusion. I need to pray more. If I want to see something, I need to be in contact with Jesus more. I need his power to come through me more. And that's the kind of attitude that we as a group of people must have if we're going to take the right road. Otherwise, we're going to be satisfied with where we are right now, and we're going to go down this other road. And we are at a branch here. In our walk with God as a group of people. Glenn said the other night, you know, we're at crossroads. And that really witnessed to me. And I said, yeah, you know, I think we are. Because it's real easy, because we're human beings, to be satisfied of a particular level of fellowship and existence and all the little aspects of what it means to be spiritual, and we can get comfortable in a particular spot, and we have to always be ready for that shot in the arm. Here we are, and God's saying this to us, and what are we going to do?
Right. So that's going to be. I tell you what I'm doing. I'm crying out to God to give me what it takes inside to take those steps. Because I can see that I'm fearful about things. I'm uncomfortable in situations that I don't feel like I'm. I have a lot of expertise. And yet, if I'm called to go into those things, I need to be spiritually prepared for that. I need to be able to, first reaction, trust God as I take those steps of faith. But you know what? It isn't just for a few people in a congregation.
That's right.
The place, I'll tell you, I'll start
spilling my guts here. It's not just for certain people to be growing. You, as an individual, every single one of you, need to take a hold of this and not rely on somebody else's expansion of their spirituality. Every single person that's in the earshot right now, God is saying, keep your ears open, open your spiritual eyes, and listen to what the Spirit is saying, and you will find abundant life, because we will be in His presence. We will understand Him more. We will rid ourselves of the man fear, and everything that goes with that. Sin falls away. That's what can happen. Now, if you want to hold on to your sin, if you and I just can't bring ourselves, I just can't do it. I'm going to say this to you. Bull. Bull. Because Jesus, I think like Crystal said it, Jesus won the victory. There's going to be tribulation in the world. There's going to be all kinds of bad things happening in the world. But don't fear. I have overcome the world, Jesus said.
Amen.
And when we really connect with Him, we will find the power. We might fall on our face a lot. We might miss the mark. But we're gonna pick ourselves back up, and we're going to keep going in His direction. And you and I need that. I remember when I was playing soccer in college, we had this coach, and he was a son of a gun. And, he was mean to us. He said things to us that really riled us up, And he actually would grab a hold of us and shake us. And even worse than that, I don't even want to talk about it. But you know what? He got our attention. What is it going to take for God to get our attention? He has this grander thing. I don't know what it is, but there's going to be a life that we're going to live in the context of this world that's going to be richer and more wonderful if we just listen to Him. If we just give Him the opportunity to move in His grace. What was that song I wrote down here? I just love this. Hungry souls receive grace. Now, grace doesn't mean just graciousness, where you're accommodating and you allow things to go by that you wouldn't with somebody you didn't care for. Grace is that. Grace, being gracious, is one thing. But grace also means it's a divine favor. He's enabling us. He gives us power. Have you heard these words earlier in the service? He gives us power where we don't deserve it. But hungry people who want to be at the beck and call of God are going to receive that kind of ability. When you're in college, or if you're in a job and you say, God, I want to do my best at this job. I want to do my best in my studies. You're calling on Him. You're asking Him to receive His grace. It's going to be you that puts in the work.
That's right.
But God will be there to provide the ability. He'll do that.
Yes, He will.
Hundreds and hundreds of times that's happened with me. And I've recognized, oh, that was God right along. And He does that to every single one of us. If you're hungry for Him, if you really are, if I'm hungry for Him, that I'm going to receive the grace that I need to talk to that person. To reach my hand in my pocket and give that money to that situation. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm talking to young and old alike. There's not one person here that's too... Well, maybe one person here that's too young. But there's nobody here that's too old to hear this. I don't think so, anyway. The scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If you aren't praying and have an understanding of what it means to be a Christian, to commit yourself to a local body of believers so that there's consistent input into the body in whatever way that God's doing that, then you're missing out. The vision isn't there. You're just going to flip here and flip there and go here and go there. When God is looking for a committed group of people, and he has his separate bodies where those people are committed in those places. That doesn't mean that we can't have fellowship with the other ones. Don't get me wrong, but there's a thing about learning commitment by entrusting yourself to a particular group of people. Think about that. Okay? All right. Luke chapter 19. You still with me? You're with me, right? Okay? Luke chapter 19. You know, you have something from the Old Testament, you should have something from the New. I'm teasing, but I kind of believe that too. Luke chapter 19. You know what's a sad thing? A sad thing is when the Lord is speaking something, the Lord allows situations to happen in your life, and you and I don't realize that He's doing something. We don't get the picture. Whether it's good or bad, and we don't even realize that God is doing a particular thing, and that, as we're going to read here, God's looking to see what our reactions are. God's looking to see what is in our heart. That's known as a day of visitation.
Amen.
Listen to what it says. Okay? Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start in verse 41. And when he had come near, talking about coming to Jerusalem, he beheld the city and he wept over it. And he said this, if you had known, even you, at least in your day, that the things which belong unto your peace, in other words, if you would just listen to me, things would be better in your life. But you're not listening. And it saddened the Lord. That was so obtuse to him. I said that on purpose. The things which belong to your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. You know, if we're just bouncing through life and God's speaking to us and we're not hearing, after a while, we have a real hard time really knowing what God is doing and where He is. Isn't that true? I mean, I think we've all experienced that. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will cast a trench about you and compass you about and keep you in on every side. The Jews, if they had been smart and listening and watching, they would have seen the political and economic situations that were going on around them, building to the point where the Romans were going to come in and destroy their city and nation. But they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see that Jesus was the Messiah, and their rejection of the Messiah was going to lead to a problem. Is Jesus king of our life? And rejection of that, just going our own way, not having a tender heart to God and what He wants in our life, so that we're doing His agenda, not our own. That's going to lead us someplace. And I just suggest to you that it might be something that we're not going to like. And as a nation, maybe it's going to go that way. So, what are we doing about it now? Where's the spiritual preparation for that? Where's any kind of preparation for that? Oh, God's just going to take care of me. How's He going to do that? He's going to give us grace. He will give us the ability to do what we need to do. So it goes on in verse 44. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and your children with you. And they will not leave you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. God's looking at us. God searches Jerusalem with lamps.
Yes,
he looks into our hearts. You know, Malcolm, you're getting a little too relaxed here. You're not really paying attention to this situation or to this thing that's going on inside of you. Get with it. Change. And that happens for a group of people too.
Amen.
So, are we ready for our visitation? And that word visitation, I didn't know this. I looked it up this morning. That word visitation means inspection. Mm-hmm. God inspects us.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, yeah. There was nothing about it. You weren't very kind to your wife yesterday.
This morning on the way up, right?
Here. Will you stop? Yeah, there are places where, you know, well, that's a little thing. Who cares? Well, God cares about how we are as a person. God wants us to change. And you know what? Sometimes we don't start with, like we were talking about, we're not starting with the big things. Well, how about the little things? How can God put us in charge of big things if we can't take care of the little things? How can God put us in charge of spiritual matters when we can't take care of physical matters? If we can't handle our finances, if we can't train up our children, how can we do spiritual things? If we can't take care of our bodies, how can God use us in other ways? Now, I'm not saying that in the fullness of all of that. So if there's anybody here that has some problems, please don't think I'm pointing at you. And I'm not. I'm just saying there's all these levels of life that God is interested in every single part. And wants us to be listening and changing for Him. Amen? Going into this new territory. This new taking a step. Right? I pray. I know I'm talking too long. I pray that we don't just hear this and it's another sermon. Because if God is speaking this, then we are going to start to go in one direction or another. I want us to go so that the direction we find ourselves going in is where all of us are moving together in the love of Christ. We all have a sense of understanding of sharing what God is with one another, that we're not afraid of family and friends and work co-workers and all of this, that we're just going to listen to the moving of God. not force ourselves to do things, not to move out in our own flesh, but as God touches us to know it and to just do it. And you know what's going to happen? When we come into worship here, when through the week we're alive to this new thing, if we're alive to this, then we're going to come in here, and when we sing words, we're really going to mean them. It's really going to have an impact on us greater than what we've had before. I want to sense that and feel that. Don't you? And you know what, how I feel about it. You know, it isn't about feelings, but there's nothing wrong with them either. When God gives it to us, because we have a hungry soul that's looking for something more from our Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah, huh? Yeah.
I've probably said enough. No, I haven't.
I didn't think so. Not done yet.
I will conclude.
Last week, we were talking about becoming awake to things so that we can know what the will of the Lord is. And so look back. I'm not going to read it, but you look back there. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14 through like 18. Read those verses again, because this is all part of what the Lord is doing for us right now. So I commend this word to Delaney in her life and all of that's going to mean for her. But I commend that to every single one of us as individuals and for our church, that we go into the promised land together. Yes. And that we find a vital, alive, expecting church. Yes. Every time that we meet. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.